Father, we thank you, Lord, how you washed us white as snow, God. Oh, Lord, there's none like you.
None like you.
There is none like you.
praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, when I came in this morning, I walked in the sanctuary and the worship team was practicing, and I just longed to come in here because, you know, this is the place where we worship God. We worship God in so many ways, in the giving of our tithes, the raising of our hands, the singing of our voices, just the friendship that we have with each other. And as I started walking through the back doors and coming in this morning, I said, Lord, I just want to worship you. Just want to worship you. And to me, when I heard them practicing this song, I said, that's it, God. There is none like you. There's none like you. I want to worship you. I want to worship you. Could we sing that just maybe one or two more times? But if you haven't worshiped yet this morning, if you haven't really pulled your chair up close to Jesus, if you haven't really ministered and come into his heart this morning with the strength and the power to worship him, would you do it right now? Would you just open up your heart wide, 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 and to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As we sing this song just a couple more times, worship him, would you? Worship him. Hallelujah.
There is none like you,
Jesus.
No one else can touch
my
heart
like you do. Thank you, Jesus.
And I can search for all eternity long and find there is
none like you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
There is none
like Jesus. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
No one else can touch my heart like you do. And I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Your mercy flows.
Mercy flows.
Yes. Yes, it's flowing. It's flowing today. Jesus. Thank you, God. That's right. That's right, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Children are safe in your arms.
Hallelujah.
There is
none like you. None like you.
My heart like you do,
like yes, you do.
And I can search for Jesus. All eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like
Jesus.
You.
Thank you, Lord.
No one else can touch my heart like you do, and I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
Let's take it up one time.
There is none like you.
Thank you, Lord.
No one else can touch my heart like you do. And I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, when we found you, we found a pearl of great price. God, we long so much to have that relationship grow. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, if somebody doesn't know you in this place, Lord, let them find you. I'm sure that you're talking to their heart already, Holy Spirit. If somebody has come in here today and doesn't know you, is not in relationship with you, I'm sure they're already sensing you. that need to come to you. So God, just let them open their hearts and to be received by you, Lord. Thank you. God, to know you and to worship you is such a great thing, Lord. Because we all have searched this world over. We've done many things, tried many things, gone many places. But God, the only place that we found that hope and that mercy flowing deep and wide was at the foot of the cross, where we found Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for that relationship in you. So God, this morning, thank you for the worship team. Thank you for the songs that we've sung. And we're just looking forward to the word that is going to be shared by Daniel this morning. So God, bless our hearts, and we thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Amen. Worship team, you've done really well today. Thank you so much. Led us along. Praise God. God is good. And all the time? That's something that holds on and holds on, doesn't it? Just never lets go. It's a good saying. Well, and dig deeper, yes. Hallelujah. And go higher. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it's so nice to have the Palencia family with us. And they're embarking on a journey, Daniel and Diego. And just, what, a week and a half? A week and a half, they're heading down to Honduras. They are raising a ministry here, Seeds and Socks, and I'm sure he'll be explaining more about this. But, you know, I've really missed you folks and all that you are and the giftings and the blessings you brought our family. I especially miss when he gets up here and says, I hope you can get by my accent. You know, when he gets up here and says that. But it's so nice to have you with us. So, Daniel, come and share the word of God again in Cornwall Pentecostal Church.
It's nice to see you. Are you ready for the Word of God? Ah, yes. So it's been so long. So the kids, they can go to the Sunday school class. Who's are going to be dismissed. So it's amazing. And yes, if it's your first time, you have to get used to my accent. I have to say because you said it. So God is good. And all the time. So it's been amazing. And like the pastor said, in a week and a half, we're going to go to Honduras. And I just thank you for supporting this project. What are we doing is they open 15 schools, and we're going to go and minister to 5,000 kids. So we're going to go to the school, and we're going to minister to these kids. And those socks are going to help. First of all, for them, some of them, they don't wear socks when they go to school. So that's a nice way to say, we love you. And the $10 that we'll provide with the kids is for the book, Semillitas, that's the name in Spanish. And that book is going to be a discipleship. And I was talking to Brother Keith the other day, and the goal is for them to bring this book to their home, and the parents will learn that there's a God that loves them. There's a God that is alive. Okay? I'm sure that there's going to be a good report. I'm sure that, and that's the kingdom of God that we help, that we reach to people. And this is a nice way to do this. So pray for us as we go to Honduras. Now, are you ready to receive from God? Are you ready to receive the word of God? Man, I've been, at the beginning of the year, I went to my driveway and I was just shoveling the snow.
my back hurts, and I was just, I'm like, this snow, please don't come down anymore. I'm like shivering. But God spoke to me, and he said, you know what, Daniel, this year I have this verse is for you. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And that's the verse that I'm going to use this year. No, by might, no by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Daniel, I want you to test me. I want you to in every single aspect of your life, I want you to humble yourself. I want everything from you. And I will bless you. And I will bless you. I want you to grasp every single promise. And like I said, like I always say, I know God has a plan for your life. Not a plan to harm you, but to give you a future. And that is the heart of God. And that is the heart of God. And second, and you heard this this verse before, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It says, "They, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will restore the land." And I believe, and I always say this, I believe we need a lot of healing, not just physical healing, but spiritual healing. And God is going to use you, and he's going to use me to bring healing to the city. Now, the verse says, if my people humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And so we go and we start praying and we start seeking the face of God and we say, God, I want to hear from you. Guide me. And you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray and you see around, nothing happens. And you see, but I don't see healing. I don't see revival. But I pray and I pray and I see God's face and I see God's face and I pray, but nothing happens. And sometimes it's because we're scared. Kept the first word that he says, the first order that he says. And he says, if my people humble themselves. And sometimes we just go and pray and pray and seek God's face, but we skip the first word, humble. Do you know that the Christian life is a fight? Do you know that? We are called to fight. We are called to fight. Even when we humble ourselves, we are fighting. We are fighting our flesh, our nature. We are called to fight. We belong to the army of God. But what happens sometimes is instead of fighting, instead of spending time on fighting and fighting, we spend time criticizing. So we criticize, but we don't fight. So, and then we want to get to a point that next month I'm turning 40 and I think my life is just going away. But the life is like that. It goes fast so quickly. And like that, we went to a funeral on Monday. A brother that we know is a father of a pastor in Montreal. He was 70 years old, a strong man, tall guy, strong, and just like that, heart attack. So as I went to the funeral home and he was laying down there, my heart was just, wow, this is life. This is life. One day you're alive, and the other day you're dead. And nothing else matters at that time. What it matters is what you did for the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, "Don't worry about the things of this earth. Don't worry about the things of this earth. You have a treasure in heaven." So that's what it matters. What do I do for the kingdom of God? What do I do for the kingdom of God? And this is a fight. It is a fight. It is a fight. And I'm going to talk to you about a man that he was a fighter. See, the story of the Bible help us to understand the heart of God. And when we see that a man in the Bible pleases the heart of God, I want to know what he did so I can do the same. So it's going to be in, if you can go to Joshua 14. And it will be verse 6. And the name of this man is Caleb. And I'm sure you heard about this man. And verse 6 says, a delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, came to Joshua. And Caleb said to Joshua, remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me. And basically, Caleb is telling Joshua, remember what God promised me. He promised me a piece of land. Now we have entered the promised land. But it's not over yet. It's not over yet. We have to continue fighting. And then I like what he says. He says in verse 7, he says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. And I returned and I gave an honest report. And then now in verse 9, so that day Moses, he promised me the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly follow the Lord my God. Now he says, now as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well as he promised for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise. And then he says, today I'm 85 years old. And I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey. And I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You see a man that is 85 years old. You see a man that is not giving up, that is grasping the promises of God. And then he continues. And he says, you will remember that as a scout we found the descendants of Anak living there in great. And then verse 13 says, so Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave Abram to him and his portion. And now then he says, verse 14, that Abram still belongs to the descendants of Caleb, son of Jephunneh. And it was because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. And verse 15, just pay attention to this. Verse 15 says, previously, Hebron had been called Kiriath Arba. He had been named after Arba, a great hero of the descendants of Anak. And the descendants of Anak was the Anakites, and there were giants. So this man, Caleb, he said, I'm 85 years old, but I'm going to fight. And there's some giants in this land, and I'm going to fight those giants. Now, Goliath, he's coming from that lineage. He's coming from the Anakites. Now, this man, he said, you know what? Give me that hill.
Give me that hill because I'm going to fight for it. And he has entered the promised land. So who was Caleb? He was from the tribe of Judah. He was one of the 12 spies that went to explore the promised land. He, the one that God said, he had a different attitude, a different spirit. Numbers 14:23-25 says, but my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of the land. Well, his attributes, his qualities, his characteristics. He was a man of faith. Perseverance. He was a servant. He was obedient. An attitude that pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith is the essence of every single attribute that I just mentioned. A fighter. He was a fighter. He stood up in the gap between the promised land and unbelief people. He tore his clothes when he heard the people complaining against Moses. The people who live there are powerful and strong. Oh, you know what, Moses? Those don't forget about that land. And he stood up in the gap between those people and the promises of God. And he said, we can do this. What an attitude. And 45 years later, he is in the promised land and he has a supernatural strength. And I believe it was a supernatural strength, physical strength and a spiritual strength, because the Bible says those who trust the Lord will find new strength. So like Caleb, we have entered the promised land too. And our goal, our destination is to be like Christ. And like Caleb, we have to fight giants in our life. So when sometimes when preachers they preach about this and they said, let's go and we have to fight the giants of fear, of depression, or you name it, every type of giant, and that's good. Sometimes they will say, God has given us this land, and we are gonna go and fight for this land, and it's good. But to me, the giant that he fought was a giant, a big giant, and was the giants of pride. How did I get to that? Because we have to look at the life of Goliath. He was coming from that. He was a descendant from that tribe, the Anakites. And pride is a big giant that we have to fight, not just one day, but every single day. Remember, if my people humble themselves, but sometimes we skip that word. Today I'm gonna give you four signs that there's pride in your life if you have one of these four signs. And remember, it's a fight that Paul says, but I say walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. He's saying every day we fight against our own flesh. Giants represents a sin that will stop us to be like Christ. And these giants, like I said, I named this giant pride, and pride will always be knocking at the door. Jesus is always at the door to give us abundant life. He's always knocking at your door. And he say, open your door because I want to give you abundant life. See, the thief came to destroy and to kill, but I came to give you life. And that is the heart of God. Now, but at the same time, you have pride knocking at the door. Always knocking at the door. And pride is the root of all sin. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. There are six things the Lord hates, no seven things he detests, and haughty eyes. He detests the proud heart. Pride goes before destruction, and haughtiness before a fall. Do you remember that king, Uzziah? He was so great. He was doing great and great and great and great. He had a powerful army. He had a powerful army. But the Bible says, but when he had become powerful, he also became proud, which led to his own, to his downfall. And then when he became proud, he went to the sanctuary and he tried to touch the glory of God. And that's a lesson that we have to learn. That giant has to come down in the name of Jesus. He goes to the temple and he tried to violate the presence of God. He went, the temple represented the presence of God, and he goes and he tried to mess with the presence of God. He tried to mess with the glory of God. And that's what pride does to you. If my people humble themselves, and sometimes I think there's nothing. Sometimes I think there's nothing happening because there's so much pride in us. I was listening to a pastor, and he said pride was a question to this pastor, and he said, why there's no unity between a pastor? And he said, you know why? Because of pride. Now, remember, pride is the root of all sin. And to me, pride was the first sin ever committed. Remember when Isaiah 14 talks about this man that says how you are falling from heaven. And most Bible teachers, they said that this verse talks about the falling of the devil, falling of the Satan. And it says how you are falling from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. You have been thrown down to the earth. You who destroy the nations of the world. For you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's star. I will preside on the mountain of God far away from the north. I will climb to the highest heaven and I be like the Most High. Instead, you will be brought down to the place of death, down to his lowest depth. And that's the heart of the pride. Wants to be above all the time. Now, to understand, to give you those four signs, I have to go and look at the life of Goliath. I'm going to take how this man behaved. How this man behaved, so I can take those characteristics and apply to my life to see if there's any pride in my life. So the 1 Samuel 17, if you want to go there, if you don't want to go there, that's fine. But 1 Samuel 17, that's the story that you know is David and Goliath. So Samuel 17, verse 4 says this, verse 4. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine rank to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. Now, if you picture that, there's the army right there. You see a big man, and then he stands out. And what he does, the first thing he does, he goes in the front. And that's the first sign, seeking attention of others. Seeking attention of others. Jesus said, be well of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them.
That's the first time when we start seeking attention from others, of others. And remember my verse for this sermon, if my people humble themselves and pray and seek my face. So seeking attention of others, what motivates me to do something? Is it for my own glory or for the glory of God? Why do I pray? To impress others or to impress myself? Or do I pray because I'm in communion with my God? When I give, do I give because I want to impress others? When I give my offerings, because I'm going to take my offering, look at me. Why do you do that? To impress others, or because you have, or because it's coming out from your heart, because God is going to bless me and He deserves the glory. He deserves everything that I have. And if you don't pray, you're full of pride anyways too. If you don't give, you're full of pride too. What about me? When I preach, do I preach to impress you? To impress you? Or because I want to impress myself? Why do I preach? Do I preach for God to use me and to be a vessel, an instrument for His glory? Do I do that just to impress you? That's why we have to go, oh God, do I seek the attention of others? And then when you do that, you start fearing men and not God, trying to please men all the time. And then if you go to verse 8 in the same chapter 17, 1 Samuel 17, verse 8, this is my second sign when there's pride in your life. It says, Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. Why are you all coming out to fight? He called, I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. The second sign is when you are above others. When you consider yourself above others. Selfishness. And as I read this, I go to my own life and I ask myself this question. How many times we have put down a person? We have put a person down. Even because of the finance situation or his color situation, I have to examine myself. If I call in the past somebody a loser. And it is bad because that means there's pride in my life. Remember what Jesus, when he said about this parable, he said, then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. And the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I'm not like the other people. Cheater and sinner. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give you all my tenth of my income. So we have to be careful that we don't go to that same attitude, putting people down. The Bible says don't be selfish, don't try to impress others, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. And this is one of the key to humble yourself. I am nothing and you are above me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I'm preaching. It doesn't matter if you don't preach. I cannot consider myself above you. Always I have to lower myself down, because that's what humble means. You go to a place that you humble, a lower place, and that's what pleases God. And I said this before, when you come to Christ, there's no more rights. You gave the rights to Jesus Christ. You have no rights. I have no rights. All my rights belongs to Jesus. Now, in that same verse, Goliath, he goes and he says, choose a man. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slave. But if you kill him, if I kill him, you will be our slave. Now you see a man that is stands out. He starts seeking attention of others. Now he's putting himself above others. And now he's trying to make a deal with the people of God. And that's my third sign, making a deal with God. Let me tell you this. We don't serve God to get something out of him. We serve him because he deserves so. How many times I have tried to make deals with God? How many times I came to God and I said, God, if you do this, I will do this. How many times we have and we say, God, if I get a better job, I'm going to start tithing. God, if I get a better job, I'm going to start giving you my offering. God, if you do this, I won't miss any Sunday ever. God, if you do this, I guarantee you, if I can buy that car, you're going to see me every Friday in that prayer meeting. Sometimes we are like that because that's our nature. I've done it before. I've done it so many times. I remember I went to a clinic and I said, God, if I pray for this person and that person gets healed, I will serve you. Trying to make a deal with God. But you don't make a deal with God. Jesus said this, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's it. That's what you have to do. There's no deal between you and God. Psalms 55 says, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. You just have to trust in God. Don't make deal with God. I'm going to serve you because you deserve the glory. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens. No matter what happens, I'm just going to serve you. We have to learn from Paul. Paul said to the Philippians, when I read this, I'm amazed what he says. He says, know that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live in almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Jesus Christ who gives me the strength. That verse should be everything. I can do everything in Jesus Christ who gives me the strength. I don't have to make a deal with God. And then, if you continue, verse 41 says this. Goliath walked out towards David with his shield bare ahead of him, snaring in contempt.
at this ruddy-faced boy. And look what verse 43 says. Am I a dog? No, he sees David that he's coming. And he's putting David down. And he said, am I a dog? He wrote to David, that you come at me with a stick? And he calls David by the name of his God. Come over here, and I will give your flesh to the birds and to the wild animals. That's what Goliath said. And this is my fourth sign. Bitterness and unforgiveness. Bitterness and unforgiveness. When there's bitterness and forgiveness in your life, that's a sign that there's pride in your life. Jesus said this when Matthew 18 says this, when some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. And he's talking about, remember that. When I continue, you're gonna remember what I'm talking about. Then they went to the king and told him everything that happens. Remember that that servant, that his dad was the king forgave his dad, but this guy didn't forgive the other guy's dad. And it says, when some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. How come the king forgave your dad, but you couldn't forget about that dad, and you put that person in prison? When some of the other servants saw this, they were very, very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant? Yes, as I have mercy on you. Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. And you see this so many times in the church. People that are with bitterness and unforgiveness. Heart. And we have to stay away from that. Our call is to forgive. Our call is to be like Christ. And that is why sometimes when I read that verse, if my people humble themselves and they pray and they seek my face, I will come down, I will heal the land. But sometimes we skip the humble part. We pray and we pray and we pray and we seek God's face, but we skip the humble part. And talking about bitterness and talking about unforgiveness, I don't know if you remember the story of five missionaries, 1956. They got killed in Ecuador in the tribe of Auca. They went there and they got killed. 1956. And one of them was Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot. And this is what happened. His wife went after to that tribe, the same tribe that they killed her husband. She went to that tribe. She didn't have a bitter heart and offer a heart that was angry. Maybe she had, and she, I don't know, but maybe she went and she cried out to the Lord. But she, the point is that she went there to that tribe, to the same tribe, and she faced the person that killed her husband. Tell me if that's not love. Because she said, I'm going to finish what my husband tried to do. He went to share the love of God. How can I run away from that? So she went. She went. She was obedient to the voice of God. There was no resentment. There was nothing against them. So she went, and I guarantee has to be hard. She went with the little girl. I think she was 2 years old at that time. So she went to the same tribe, to the same tribe that her husband got killed with her little baby, and she goes there and she shared the love of God. And you know what happens? Most of them, a lot of them, they turn to Jesus Christ. She was welcome, and they turned to Jesus Christ. And she said this, and this is one the verse that kept her going, because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone. I'm determined to do His will. And I know that I will not be put to shame. When we do what pleases God, and we are determined to do what pleases Him, He will not put you on shame, to shame. He will not put me to shame. Do you get defensive at the first sign criticism or correction? Are you quick to speak and slow to listen? You are convinced that you're always right. You are quick to criticize and slow to encourage. To see a revival, to see a city to change that will change for the better, not for the worse, we have to humble ourselves. Are you agree with me? And you may say, because you know what? A lot of Christians are forgetting the practical principle of being of Christianity. Sometimes we are busy doing so many things, but we forget those little principles. And that's why my sermon is a very simple sermon. If there's pride in our life, basically what I'm trying to say, to tell you, if you haven't figured it out by now, if you have a proud heart, if there's pride in your life, forget it. God won't use you. And God won't use me. So how do I go and how do I humble myself, which is the first commandment that I see in that verse? Not just pray and seek my face. No, but I want you to humble yourself. How do I do that? Well, very simple. Very simple. We have to go to the cross. We have to go to the cross. The Bible says you humble yourself under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, He will lift you up in honor. It doesn't say, and you will lift yourself up. No, I will lift you up in honor. Paul says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer who I live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Sin originated in pride. Salvation originated in humility. Pride wants to go up. Humility comes down. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. So let's be aware of those four signs that I just gave you. Don't try to seek the attention of others.
Don't try to be above others. Don't try to make a deal with God. And don't keep any resentment, any bitterness, any unforgiveness in your heart. And I guarantee you, God will do amazing things. I guarantee you, God is going to start moving like never before. Because I know that is the heart of God. That's His heart. But we have to do our part. Remember, you belong to the army of God. And our weapons are not from this earth. Our weapons are from high. Because we don't fight blood and flesh. We fight principalities. We fight demons. And I totally believe until the church reaches to a point that they will come down and they will humble themselves. Until we don't reach that, God will move. Yes, we can see a little things here and little things, but I want to see everything. I want to see everything, not just a little thing here, a little thing there. I want to see His whole fullness. I want to see Him in His all, in His great, in His greatness. Now, and that's to me, that is the key to humble yourself, to go to the cross. And I'm going to try this morning to do my best to go to that place, to go back 2,000 years ago and go to that place. Do you want to take a ride with me? Do you want to take a ride with me? And we're going to go 2,000 years ago and we're going to try to picture what happened that day. So you have to get, I'm going to take my car and my DeLorean, and we're going to go 2,000 years before. Are you ready with me? Are you ready? Let's do that. Let's go. Let's take the car, the Back to the Future car, and let's go back. Let's go 2,000 years ago, and let's see what happened that day. Because when we understand that, we say, well, God, I'm nothing and you are everything. Are you with me? Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, so we open the door, we get in the car. And then we open the door one more time. And it's 9 a.m. We see some people crying. You see a man hanging on a cross. You see people mocking him. You see the nails that went through his hand. You see his face full of blood. You see a crown of thorns on his head. His face was so disfigured, he seems hardly human. There are drops of blood hitting the ground. And then you hear the name, and then you hear his name, Jesus, the Son of God. He opened his mouth and he says this, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. It's 12 o'clock now, and the darkness covers the land. You see your sins being taken by this man hanging at the cross. And then you ask, why are you doing this? And his answer is, because I love you. And then you notice that on his right hand, there is a written name. Then you get closer, and it is your name. About 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. Which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? And then he said, it is finished. It is finished. And then they took him, they put him in a tomb. They roll a big stone and the tomb is closed. There was sadness all over the place. But the devil was having a party. And then, they three, everything started shaking. The devil runs to the tomb and tries to hold the stone, but it's impossible. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The grave couldn't hold him, and you see him coming out. And he's holding the keys of death and the grave. You run to him, and you look at his eyes, and they are like a flame of fire. And you fell down, and he picks you up, and he says this: I have given you authority to trample on a snake and a scorpion and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. My friend, you have power to tell that giant, in the name of Jesus, come down. You have the power today to tell any giant that you're facing in your life, in the name of Jesus, come down. In the name of Jesus, come down. Because Jesus has given us power and authority. Jesus has given us power and authority. But there's a giant that we have to defeat. It's a giant that we have to fight. But we have the victory. Because Jesus said, I have given you power to trample on a snake and a scorpion. In the name of Jesus, any pride has to come down in the name of Jesus. 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 Every single giant that is in your life has to come down. But we have to do something first. We went to the cross and we see what happened there. But now let's surrender everything. We come to a place that we surrender all. And you say, every giant that I'm gonna face, that I'm facing, in the name of Jesus, come down. In the name of Jesus, come down. My friend, God wants to use us. God wants to use us. Are we willing to be used by God? Just take these 10 minutes and say, if there's any giants, I don't know your life, but it's but my God knows your life. I don't know what's going on in your life, but if you see God, those four signs that the preacher said, God, sometimes there's bitterness, sometimes I'm trying to be above others, sometimes I try to seek attention of others, oh God, sometimes I'm trying to make a deal with you, oh God. God, I just surrender everything.
His friend.
Oh God, we surrender all, oh God. Oh yes, oh God, we surrender all, oh God. Thank you, God. Thank you because you are an amazing God, oh God. Thank you, Lord, because you work in our hearts. Your mercy endures forever, oh God. Thank you because we don't serve a dead God, we serve a God that is alive. Oh God, if there's any giant in our life, oh God, they have to come down in the name of Jesus, oh God. God, use us. Use us, oh God. Take any pride away from our hearts, oh God. Because we want to humble ourselves, oh Lord. We want to humble ourselves. Because we want to grasp every single promise that is in this Bible, oh Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And the people say, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I asked the pastor, I'm leaving in a week and a half, so I'm going to ask the pastor right now so if he can come and pray for me and send me as in my missionary trip. Thank you.